Good afternoon, sir. Could you please state your full name and your ABC number for us for the record?
Yes, sir. My name is Melvin Eugene Riggs. My ABC number is 111-687.
Okay, Mr. Riggs, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm glad to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing this morning. I mean, this afternoon. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Miller. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. My name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'll be acting as your hearing lead this afternoon, sir. Mr. Reyes, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form that advised you of your hearing today. You recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, I do.
On that form, it notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf of a hired licensed attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself.
Okay. So also with this representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer is Mr. Turner, sir. At this time, I want to advise you and Mr. Turner, swear you and Mr. Turner in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so I help you God and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Okay, so your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms, condition of community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So we're going to start out in phase one. You have four allegations listed on your warrant. I am going to read each of those allegations to you. Mr. Reyes, when I read you the allegation, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. The first allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 5 as demonstrated by your engagement in physical assaulting Chantee Covington on or about December 26, 2018, at 1624 North Black Canyon Highway. So is that true or false?
That's false.
Okay. Let's go to the next allegation on the warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 5, demonstrated by committing criminal damage to Chantee Covington's cellular phone on or about December 26, 2018, at 1624 North Black Canyon Highway. So is that true or false?
Yes, false.
Okay. So the next allegation states you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7 as demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about December 27, 2018 as observed by the supervisor Joe Foote on 12-27-2018. So is that true or false?
You said on the 27th?
Yeah, December
27, 2018. That's true.
Okay, that's true.
Yes,
yeah, true. All right, so the last allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2 as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about December 28, 2018, per written directive on December 27, 2018, says that the defendant is active avoiding supervision, thus he is absconded from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
So, I didn't know I had some jewelry on the 28th.
Okay, well, that's
fine.
So, is it true or false? So, we'll be able to further discuss that when we get into phase two. So, is that true or false?
That's false.
Okay, that's false. All right, sir. We'll let you state that allegations 1, 2, and 4 are false. We're going to go through the parole officer, Mr. Turner, to get some additional information on each one of those.
Allegation number one. On 12-27-2018, Parole Officer Borrego received a voice message from offender Wade Graves, living girlfriend Chantee Covington, stating that on the day prior they had an altercation and he had assaulted her pretty badly. Unable to make contact with the victim, P.O. Borrego made contact with Phoenix Police Department Records Division and obtained the following information. On 12-26-2018, offender Graves, ABC number 111-687, and his girlfriend, Chantee Covington, victim, were at Knight's Inn located at 1624 North Black Canyon Highway, Phoenix, Arizona, 85009, and they began arguing over a cell phone. Offender Graves grabbed the victim's cell phone and broke it. While continuing their argument outside of their motel room, offender Graves threatened to hit the victim and then struck her in the face approximately 5 times with a closed fist. When VHPD arrived at the scene, they observed that the victim had a swollen right eye and a small cut below her eye. She was also bleeding from the cut, and there was blood on her face and her shirt. The offender left the motel prior to VHPD arriving on scene.
Hold on, let me just say. So what's thoughts about allegation number one?
I was near the hotel with her. What happened is she was at a hotel with some other guy, and
Okay, did you strike her, or you did strike her, sir?
I did.
Okay, all right. Let's go to allegation number two then.
Allegation number two. On 12/27/2018, Parole Officer Breger received a voice message from the offender Ray's living girlfriend, Shantae Covington, stating that on the day prior they had an altercation and he had assaulted her pretty badly. Unable to make contact with the victim, Peel Breger made contact with Phoenix Police Department Records Division and obtained the following information. On 12/26/2018, offender Ray's ABC number 11/1687 and his girlfriend, Shantae Covington, victim, Brett Knights, in located at 1624 North Black Canyon Highway, Phoenix, Arizona, 85009. When they began arguing over a cell phone, offender Reyes grabbed the victim's cellular phone and broke it. While continuing their argument outside of the motel room, offender Reyes threatened to hit the victim and then struck her in the face approximately 5 times with a closed fist. When Phoenix PD arrived at the scene, they observed that the victim had a swollen right eye and a small cut below her eye. She was also bleeding from a cut, and there was blood on her face and shirt. The offender left the motel prior to being treated for driving on the scene.
Okay, going to allegation number four. That's the second allegation.
Yeah. Allegation number four. On 12/27/2018, Western Regional Parole Officer WRPO Supervisor John Foote drove to the offender's residence located at 6529 West Glendale Avenue, Unit E, 1402, Glendale, Arizona, 85301, and observed offender Reyes standing outside of his apartment. The offender was given a violation notice directing him to report to WRPO on 12/28/2018 by AM. The offender was also given the same directive verbally by Supervisor Foote. On 1/28/2018, the offender failed to report to WRPO as directed. Parole Officer Breger has not been contacted by the offender. The offender is actively avoiding supervision. The season absconded from supervision. Follow-up to number four. On 12/28/2018, Pio Brego attempted to make contact with the offender via cell phone. Unsuccessful attempts. On 12/28/2018, Pio Brego also contacted the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and Maricopa County Medical Center. Both places informed they did not have any recent record of the offender in their system. On 1/2/2019, the offender was subsequently taken into custody by the Fugitive Apprehension Unit.
Okay. So what's not true about that? Did you not show up for the hearing or what?
So I didn't even, I see them once a month, they see them once a month.
Okay.
That month was over. I didn't have to see them until the next morning.
Okay. So, sir, I'm going to go ahead and move this on to phase two. And then you'll have an opportunity to further discuss each one of those allegations, okay?
Yes, sir.
So, based on an allegation number one, two, and four, I am going to say, based on the information contained in round number 2018W3756 and information from the parole officer, Mr. Turner, is an allegation number three. I'm going to say, based on the admission of Mr. Ways, that I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent, that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or is about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed. By myself, second, Ms. Whithouse. Agreed, Mr. Kalanis, Mr. Moore, Dr. Wright. Let me just mark a couple of things over here. Four. So we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Turner. Then I'm going to give you the opportunity to present any information you'd like to present to the board. And then we'll go over some information, and the board will make a determination. We're going to start out with Mr. Turner. Mr. Turner.
Yes. Rays was released from ABC custody on 10/24/2018 and arrested on 1/2/2019 by Arizona Department of Corrections Fugitive Apprehension Unit with the assistance of the United States Marshal's Office. No new charges were noted. He returned back to ABC custody on 1/2/2019 with adjusted CSED of 7/29/2019 with 5 abscond days. Current conviction, 2017, aggravated assault, 1 year, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1993, shock incarceration, 3 months, 29 days. 1992, theft, 1 year, 6 months. 1993, commitment C, count one, narcotic drug violation, 4 years. 1995, aggravated assault, 2 years, 3 months. 1997, commitment E, count one, narcotic drug violation, 10 years. 1999, commitment F, count one, resisting arrest, 3 years, 9 months. 1999, commitment F, count two, aggravated assault, 5 years. 1999, commitment F, count three, aggravated assault, 3 years, 9 months. 2007, commitment G, count one, aggravated DUI, 4 years, 6 months. 2006, aggravated assault, 1 year, 9 months. 2012, resisting arrest, 4 months. 2014, narcotic drug violation, 4 years, 6 months. This is his seventh term in ADC. With a C, IR score of 4.4, mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 2. No exchange information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 1997, transition release, arrested possession of dangerous drug, administratively revoked. 1998, TIS release, completed 4 months. 2005, TIS release, absconded, arrested next day, reached CSED in custody. 2011, TIS release, arrested, revoked by BOEC. 2013, TIS release, completed, 1 month. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with violence, drugs, and escape noted. Other arrests, 1987, shoplifting, Arizona juvenile detention. He has a GB score of G5, B6.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Turner. So, Mr. Reyes, I see that a year at least on community supervision, you were approved to stay at N-Town Suites located at 1530 North 50th Avenue in Phoenix with your girlfriend, Shantae Covington. And then on December 6th, you provided a lease agreement and requested permission to change residence at 6529 West Glendale Avenue, Unit E1402 in Glendale, Arizona, so that you were granted permission to stay at that location. You didn't have any other residence changes that had been approved by there. So were you still staying in Glendale, sir, at the time that you were arrested by the Department of Corrections?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it looks like you reported that you worked for Eaton Marketing, and then it looks like on November 29th, you reported that you no longer work for Eaton due to only being a temporary position. On the same date, you were referred to Arizona at Work for employment opportunities. Looks like you temporarily got employed by with Dedicated Delivery located at 1315 East Gibson Lane. Through Intermountain Staffing Agency, you were directed to attend the job there at 801 South 16th Street. Looks like on December 12th, you failed to attend the job there and was directed because you simply forgot. Up to this date, you didn't have. Were you working at the time, or had you didn't?
Yes.
Where were you working? Where did your next job for you?
My next job was on 15W and Watkins. That was a lumber yard.
Okay.
And that was a permanent job, but I got fired from there because I had to go see my parole officer on Wednesday, and I just got the job that Monday. So. I told them I had to go see my parole officer that Wednesday. So when I took off that Wednesday, the next Thursday when I went to work, they said I was fired due to the fact that I had missed coming in on Wednesday.
Okay.
And I told them that was because my parole officer had me come to see them on Wednesday. But they still fired me. But they told me to come back after the first of the year, which is the 19th this year, and I can get to rehire me.
Okay.
To a permanent job.
All right, so I see that you were saying to take random UAs and you were given a PIN number. Looks like on October 25th, you were positive for alcohol, and then on October 29th, you failed to provide a urine specimen for drug analysis per a verbal directive by your PO. Then on November 5th, your task results were negative. You did have a negative results. Task results were diluted on December 11th, 2018, and negative on December 12th. Then on December 27th, while they were delivering a violation number to your place of residence at Western Regional Office, John Fitt observed that you were possessing and consuming an alcohol beverage. While speaking with the fitness supervisor, Fitt noticed the odor of alcohol coming from your breath, and you admitted to consuming the alcohol beverage. Due to the fact that you had been approved to reside with the victim for prior offenses, both the offender and Ms. Coleman were directed to attend and participate and complete one session of marriage couple counseling sessions per week for a minimum of 120 days. You provided Officer Barago with detailed information regarding the weekly session that was scheduled every Wednesday with pastoral counselor Reverend Carolyn Watson from the Office of the Ministry of Pastoral Counseling. P.O. Barago corresponded with them via email and received confirmation that you and Ms. Covington were attending all scheduled appointments with the exception of one on December 25th. It looks like on October 26th, following a positive UA staff and mandated to attend one AA meeting per week, due to the violent history and current offense, you were referred to CHC for anger management on October 29th, and you attended all scheduled sessions with the exception of one. Since you only had one sanction on October 26th, you were staffed for that ET using the alcohol, and you were told the AA meeting. So what was going on with you, sir? It looks like you were trying to do good. You and your girlfriend were attending counseling sessions, and you had some negative UAs, and then you started to drink. And so what was going on with you? What happened?
Well, I had a definite family, and I was just tired of people dying on me. But it wasn't that I had a problem with drinking. It was just I just wanted to drink and kind of like chill the pain, and I was gonna be done with that, which I was done with that. But like I said, I was getting a job. I had a job, and I was gonna keep my job. Whenever I get out, I'm going back to my job. I can do good. I'm violated, but I can be all right with the world. There's no, I've got my mind made up. If I get out there, that I'm not gonna violate, and I'm gonna act right and do everything I'm supposed to do with the world. I just need a chance, man. Like I said,
So what happened with you, Ms. Covington, sir?
What happened is, that day that she said I was there at the room, she was there with another individual. I guess when another individual got into it, and she called me, and she came crying to me, and I told her, I'm done with you. I don't even want anything to do with you. So she got mad and turned the tables on me and called my parole officer and told the police that I was the individual that was up there abusing her, and that was not true. She just got mad at me because I was done with her. She had my child. My child passed away in 2007, and we tried to make another girl, but when she went to the room and she started talking to the other men, I told her, if you start talking to another man, then there's no reason. If you cheat on me, I don't need to be with you. And I found out she was in the room with another individual, and I told her it was over. And that's the bottom line with that. I told her it was over, and now, I called my brother and my sister, and I told them to call to find out if there was a real issue for my arrest. They said there was no charges even pending. I gave them the case number and everything due to the fact that she claimed that I was the one who abused her, and they said there was no charges even pending about me. So why did they, but I was wondering why they violated me, talking about how I saw a woman, and now there's not even a choice. How is that?
All right, so I can't answer that question for you there, sir. All right, so let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. See, Ms. Mr.?
Yes, sir. Upon reviewing the OMS notes, it does appear that on 12/27/2018, P.O. Borrego received a police report from Phoenix Police Incident Report Number 2018-0227717. The offender is being charged with misdemeanor assault, domestic violence, and misdemeanor criminal damage. I don't have any outcome.
Okay, so according to the PO, that they do have a police report that they did write a police report charging you with misdemeanor assault and criminal damage. So those charges are still pending, and that case is still pending on you. So,
That's what they told the PO that they charged me with. And if they did charge me with that, now they're not charging me with it.
Okay.
Them charges have been dropped against me.
Okay, well, that's the other information that we have, though. So Mr. Waves, we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. So is there anything else you'd like to say to the board before we go into discussion?
So I just want the board to know that I besides me drinking a little bit and having that little misfit with, drinking, I'm okay to be on the road. You know, like I said, I'm for the work, I'm for doing everything I'm going to do on the road. They said it's a misdemeanor and it's still pending. It's not pending. It wasn't me. She lied, she covered up, whatever, but the case is no longer pending on me. So I'm just asking, get back out on the road. Let me get myself, so I've been gone for 17 years, man, on and off. You know, I'm grown, I'm changed. I need to get out and get my life established. I got kids and grandkids I'm trying to be there for, and they need me there, and they want me out.
Okay, okay, so Mr. Ray, the bill's going to go into discussion. So while we're in discussion, I'm asking you to stay on the line so that you can hear the discussion and conversation taking place. At that time, we'll make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. So stay on the line, sir, while the board's going into discussion. The board's not going into discussion. Mr. Waves, we've had the opportunity to listen to Mr. Waves. The board has seen Mr. Waves has been on parole and out on community supervision before. He has completed it sometime. A couple of times he absconded. One time he was arrested. And he did have, in 2013, he did complete it. However, based on the information that we have here, that the information we have is that he is still pending misdemeanor charges of assault and criminal damage in reference to his girlfriend, Mrs. Shante, in which he says that it wasn't him that assaulted her, it was another guy that she was at the hotel with. However, regardless, Mr. Shante did relapse and continue to start drinking. He did complete his classes, but he'll be released on July 29th of 2019. I think it's going to be best for him to go ahead and stay in there, work with the CO3, come up with a plan so that when he gets out, try to go to AA or NA programs while he's there. And he has taken some anger management, but try to get involved in some more anger management classes because of his past history of aggravated assaults that he's had and the resisting arrest that he's had. So hopefully he can get himself together, and when he's released on July 29th of 2019, he will be able to be out, won't have to report to his parole officer, won't have any community supervision, and hopefully be a productive citizen from that point on and not have to come back in negative contact with law enforcement. That's my feelings at this time. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Hearing no comments coming from colleagues, then I am going to make a motion to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Waves, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapses, was about to lapse into criminal ways or company as he did relapse and start back to drinking alcohol and was allegedly involved in assault. That's going to be my motion at this time.
Second.
Agreed.
Good motion by myself. Second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Mr. Quinones and Mr. Neal. So the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you for taking the time and opportunity to participate in your hearing at this time, sir. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.